Deshe Adoriani, welcome to Finland and our radio program.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure and honor to be here.
You are a bishop of Evangelical Lutheran Church of Romania. Is this your first time in Finland?
Yes, I'm for 4 years bishop. And, as bishop is my first time in Finland, I guess. But it's my fifth time in Finland.
Could you tell us something about yourself?
Oh, yes. It's a long story. I will be short. I was born in Transylvanian beautiful city of Brasov. In German, the name is Kronstadt. In Hungarian, is Brasov. You see, already we have one city, three names. That means the population was very mixed in that region of the country. It's a great luck for someone who was born in such kind of region, because from the childhood we have been learning three languages, matter of fact. So I spoke these three, German, Hungarian and Romanian. My mother tongue is Hungarian, of course. Well, I was finishing my schools in the city of Brasov. Later on, I was continuing in Bucharest, in the capital, where we have been moved because of the vocation of my father, who was a Lutheran pastor too. And then I finished my theological studies in Cluj, Kolozsvár, that is the headquarter of our church. I had also some studies in Germany, and that was shortly my childhood and my young the period of my studies. I am married. I have two children, a daughter who is 10 years old, her name is Cenge, and a son who is 5 years old and is in the kindergarten, my son.
How did you become a Christian? How did you become a believer?
Well, I think it was a long period in my life. It was not something strange for me. It was something very natural for me to be a Christian, because even my grandfather was a pastor. My father was a pastor. We can say we were a pastor family for long. But that plays a role, of course, in my education, but it is not enough. You have to deepen, you know. You have to have your own moment when you decide for something. And this was an interesting period when I was some 17 years old. Then I had that very strong feeling, very strong vocation, a calling I felt in myself. And it was not a decision of a one certain moment, but it was a decision which took a period of struggling myself to really, what is the belief? What is the Christian life? Is it not a fake everything? It is not only in vain everything. It was a difficult period because it was the communist time in Romania. So it was not it was for a decision. It was difficult to take a clear decision. Because, you know, that was not a career to be a pastor in 80s in Romania. But you could take a decision if you were convinced what you are doing is for the glory of God. So this is it, my story.
Did some people help you to make this decision?
Of course. I'm very thankful for my stepfather, because my father died after he was released from the prison. He was imprisoned because of political reason. He was a pastor too. And my stepfather was a very patient man who had long discussions, night discussions with me about the question of the faith and the question of the Bible and the existence of God and the miracle of Jesus Christ and so on. And I'm very thankful, because these discussions were very, very, very important when we received a quite different ideology from the school. Well, they said everything is false. Religion is stupid. Everything is stupid what is connected to religion. And at home, with this very good discussions with my father, it was strengthening in me what I already have had in my mind about religion. And of course, the grandparents, they also played a great role in my life. Grandfather, grandmother, how they were as persons.
When you realized that one day you are going to be a pastor?
That's difficult to say, because it was not in one certain moment, as I said, now I realize I will be a pastor. This vocation is something more linked to the, as you can imagine, an apple. It's on the tree, it's now green, and it's becoming red during the summer. But he needs the heat, the light of the sun, So I can imagine it was my life. First, I started to study theology, but I was not perfectly convinced that I will be a pastor. It was maybe after 2 or 3 years of study, I realized, first of all, I like very much to preach. I like very much to work with people. I like very much to invite people to go after them. And disturbs me when the church was asleep, you know, sleeping, tired. So it gives me more energy to wish to become pastor.
In Romania, there is the 2 Lutheran churches. Could you tell us about history of these 2 Lutheran churches?
Yes. First of all, we have to clarify something. We have first of all to speak about Transylvania, which was till the First World War a part of Hungary. And Transylvania was one certain region, east region of Hungary, of the Hungarian kingdom, of the Habsburg monarchy later. So in the time of Reformation, in the 16th century, they were 2 main Protestant churches in Hungary, in Transylvania. The stronger became the Calvinist, the so-called Reformation. And strong enough, but less so big, it was the Lutheran Reformation. But the churches of the Lutheran Reformation were divided later because of the language. One part was German, and they were the so-called Ecclesia Natio Saxonica, that the German nation church in Transylvania, and the other, of course, it was the Hungarian-speaking Lutheran church. I'm belonging to the Hungarian-speaking Lutheran church. But it's not any more truth that in Transylvania, which nowadays belong to Romania, it's only Hungarian Lutheran church. It's not any more the case. Of course, the vast majority of the church members are Hungarians, but we have also Slovakian congregation, or we have some Germans, we have a Romanian-speaking congregation. So it's not any more that clear national church.
Dese Adoriani, could you tell us some facts about your church?
We are a minority church, as I said. We were bigger, much bigger before the war, before the First World War. We have some 32,000 members and in 39 congregations. But we have many, many, many diasporas, stations, so-called congregation stations, where are few families, but we have to take care of them too. And 46 ministers in our church. We are together, we have together with the Reformed Church, a theological institute in Cluj, where is the headquarters of our church. That's an interesting Protestant theology. It's not so clear Lutheran or clear Reformed, but it's a Protestant theology together. It is a necessity for us. But of course, our students could go to Hungary in Budapest or other Hungarian Protestant universities to learn theology. And of course, they can also have abroad, I mean, Germany or even in Finland. But unfortunately, we don't have any student today in Finland in the Finnish theology. Then what can I say? It's our church is diaspora. So we are in almost in every big city, but in every big city, a small congregation. Very important is to be a living one. That is what we try to stress on, to have a living church, even if we are small, but to be, well, a living church which wants to grow. So the perspective of a church must be to wish to grow, to pray for growth. And here I see the future of our church. We will not give up and say, oh, the tradition will die, the church will die. Because tradition is beautiful, but it's not enough to have a church only through old traditions. You need a church all the time to be authentic. And for the people, you use the language of the actual language, you know. Not only, I mean, the language we speak, but all the forms or the struggle what does a church must be for the people of 21st century. So this is a great challenge because you have to fight. Of course, the tradition, I say, the tradition is important, but it's not the only one. So you have to connect the tradition with your actual time. I consider very important that that we spread the word of God in four languages, and as we see or we expect, we will introduce the fifth language this year. It will be the English. In big cities like Kolozsvár and Brasov and Bucharest, we have many foreigners, and we have imagined what could happen if we will introduce the English service in big cities, in the Lutheran churches. My counselor said they found out yesterday, before yesterday, we have in Kolozsvár, it's a big university city, more than 200 Swedish students, medicine. We didn't know that before. And we said, if we will from September introduce the English service, we will invite them. Maybe from these 200, if we win 20 or 30 people, is already something. And because they are foreigners, they are maybe more open for such spiritual things because they are in a foreign country, so not at home. And this is also an opportunity. So I think very important is, even for a small church, to look for new and new opportunities, not to stop, this is okay because this is what we have done in 300 years or 400 years ago, and this is good. No, we have to look for all the time for new opportunities. And this is one example I would like to give you, an opportunity. Let's try to contact all those foreigners, students, professors, institutes. Maybe we succeed to do a so-called international Christian church. I saw that kind of work done by Pentecostals in Bucharest, and they had great success. They were strong congregations, international, not anymore Pentecostal, but Christian. So very important, I consider, for our church, that we, the religious education, the youth work, that is absolutely important for the new generation, how we will organize the youth work, how serious we take the children and the religious education, first in families, in the schools, in the parishes. So that is something what we search for new forms. And of course, we consider here very important the international cooperation. Cooperation with the churches in Hungary, cooperation with the churches in Austria or in Germany or even in Finland, if it's possible. The distance is huge, but sometimes we can enrich each other. And yes, this will be the future. Try to the evangelism in a church and to work with young people, with the children, not forgetting the old people too. But
your church is a minority church in Romania. How does it affect to your work?
Yes, we are a minority church in double sense minority. First of all, as confession, Lutheran confession in the Orthodox Romania. And we are, as ethnic group, a minority, as Hungarians or Slovakians or Germans. It affects very much. In some cases, it's a positive thing to be a minority, because minority being a small group of people or smaller than the majority, relations are more familiar in my church. People know each other. Small church, people know each other. It strengthens this feeling of being a minority. Maybe sometimes it plays a too great role, this minority feeling, much more than the faith sometimes. I'm a minority. I have to belong to this minority church because I have to protect my own group, you know. But it's also a great opportunity to change people in or to help them to find God, you know. So it's an opportunity. Other side, to be a minority has his own difficulties. Sometimes the majority intolerance, nationalistic movements can disturb the relation with the Orthodox Church, relation with the state, or if you are considered a second quality citizen because you are a minority. You are not the right Romanian, you know. That could create sometimes unpleasant situations. Or if we see the strong discrimination, what could happen in our country when the Romanian Orthodox Church is very much financed from the state and the minority church is much less. One example, last year, state subsidies, some 10 or 12% of Romanian inhabitants belong to a minority, a certain minority, Roman Catholic. I speak about the religious minorities now, Roman Catholic, Protestant or so. And when it was about state subsidies, 1.2% was the subsidy for the minority churches, and almost 99% of state subsidies was for the Orthodox. So instead of 12%, if we take the percentage, it was only 1% for other churches, which shows that, yes, you are a minority, your value is not so much than the value of the Orthodox Church, because this is a political matter which can disturb the relation.
What kind of relationships your church has got to other Christian churches in Romania?
Yes, you know, between minorities there is a solidarity, of course. So with the evangelicals, different evangelical churches, we have very good relations. Special is our relation with the Reformed Church. Of course, between the two Lutheran bodies, we formed the National Committee of Lutheran Churches in Romania, the Germans with the Germans together. Very good is the relation with the Roman Catholics. Many are surprised how could be. It could be because the Roman Catholic is a minority too. Therefore, the Roman Catholics' behavior in Romania is different than in Spain or in Italy, where they are majority. And sometimes we can already cooperate with the Roman Catholics. It's difficult with the Romanian Orthodox Church. That is difficult because the Romanian Orthodox Church is more or less more a political power than a church in good sense of the word. So it's and with the new patriarch, I have the feeling it's much more difficult than it was before with the good old so-called communist patriarch, who was more tolerant. That's the truth.
Deze Adoriani, could you tell us something about the years of communism? How did it affect to your Lutheran church? What happened to Christian people during it?
Well, it was harsh time, that almost 50 years from 49 till 90. And after 90, many old influences are still there. I think it was a difficult period, not only for the church or the churches. It was very difficult for the whole society. It was I think anybody here in Finland knows what was the communism, matter of fact, how affected economically or social the societies in the East countries or in the former Soviet, under Soviet rule. But maybe something good was, in many bad circumstances, of course, that kept people in a way together. That bad life, bad quality of life, to be under oppression, it makes between the people the solidarity a little bit different. So it's something what we already have lost. In 18 years, we have lost this kind of human solidarity, this openness to each other, even if that was the fear that no one knows if your counterpart is not maybe a member of Securitate, the secret police, and will turn you. But the relation between the people was different. And even if the church was persecuted, spiritually speaking, I saw stronger. People needed more the church, that different voice. And today it's not anymore so important for many people to listen that voice, because they say or they think we are free. Now we don't need anymore that one, that other voice, because we have so many voices. So if I want to say something positive, that was positive. That was very worst economically. They they tried to destroy the church, but they couldn't succeed. But what was a positive aspect, that the behavior and relation between the people was different than today. Of course, I don't want back communism, but I would like to have back that relation between the people that makes the church also strong.
What happened after, when communism collapsed?
Well, this was very interesting. Of course, nobody knows that will collapse so quickly. So nobody was prepared. The church was unprepared. Partner churches in West were unprepared to know what will happen. In the first period, it was a kind of great joy. Oh, we are free, and so we thought it will be in a few years like in heaven, and now the democracy, it means only positive things. So it was a naive dream of the people. But then in a few years, we realized that it's not anymore so easy, and economic problems and social problems, they still remain, and even the political life was very difficult, and democracy was not so easy, something very easy to come, and of course, many former privileged persons, they remain in the power. Matter of fact, they put another name on the board, but the system was the same. The church had now new opportunities. What before, in the communist time, it was impossible, no, to be in the medias, to have their own newspaper, to be back in the society, officially back in the society, not in the round of the society. And first years, it seems that had been a kind of explosion. Many people came to the church. They thought the church and democracy is the same thing. So they mixed everything. Politicians, they misused the church, having the symbols of the church. It was very good for the new propaganda. If I want to wash myself clean, then I was already, again, member of one certain congregation, and I showed the people, yes, I'm an authentic person because I'm a Christian. That was in the first 4 or 5 years. So the churches were really living communities. After 5, 6 years of new marriage, can we say, it's not anymore the same situation. So the churches need to find their own place, and the society must rediscover the faith, the churches. So there are many challenges today for the churches too. And I'm afraid of coming this kind of West European, North European secularism, which was not very known in Romania especially. So the difference between Romanian Christianity and that of Central European, I mean the Czech Republic or what is in Hungary, it was great because those countries are much more secularized than Romania. But I'm afraid now that Romania will follow sooner or later.
Do you nowadays have a freedom to work as you want in Romania?
Yes, you are free to work as you want, but how much are you supported? That's the question. That's the question. Because if for the sake of policy, other churches, I mean the majority churches supported by the state, and the partnership between the state and the church is better than between your church and the state, that could harm for your mission. But you are free to work, and you are free for religious education in the school. You are free to join the medias. So it's freedom is.
What kind are typical Romanian people? Are they religious?
Between Romanians and Hungarians is a difference, of course, not only the language, mentality and others. Usually Romanians, I'm speaking of from ethnic Romanians, are, more or less religious. They have a deep sympathy for religion. I don't know how deep they are, matter of fact, in faith, but they are religious in, yes, good sense, and that's a good start. The Romanian society is also very differentiated. I mean, from region to region is different, from man to man is different, but usually it's a religious society. What will be in the future, I don't know. I hope that this religiosity will remain somehow a characteristic of the Romanian society. Well, Hungarians were touched by different wings of Reformation and Counter-Reformation. In Transylvania, we are much more traditionalists as in the Hungarians in Hungary. So that means one good opportunity for the churches. Churches are much more appreciated higher in Transylvania than in Hungary, I guess.
Deze Adoriani, do you have young people in your church? And what kind of youth work do you have in your church?
I already said I consider the most important work children and youth work. We have, fortunately, and we would like to strengthen the work with the young people. We have many small organizations at a local level. We have two greater organizations at a national level. It's the REVIS, is the youth work in the church, youth organization REVIS, Romániai Evangélikus Ifjúsági Szövetség, hard to translate. And then is the Collegium Academicum Luteranicum, that is for the students and young teachers in the academical level. This is working in university cities. So it's a new organization, and well, it works good. Students are aware to find what is in the church, how is, and that makes me very happy to know that the students have interest for. But with them, you have to speak different way, of course, to deepen more. You can go in the deep problems of the Bible and even in the hermeneutic of the Bible, because they understand and they like very much. With the children, we have the Sunday school almost in every congregation, and during the week, we work at the parishes and in the schools. So there exist religious classes in public schools.
Has there been spiritual revivals in Romania? And is there going on spiritual revivals in Romania at the moment?
Yes, there were all the time in the history, of course, like the classical pietism or later different movements, but in different denomination, different movements. Today, there is the influence of charismatism, which appeared in Romania, not in the Lutheran Church less, but there are charismatic movements, and I guess the strongest is the Pentecostalism today in Romania, which is a growing church. I would like to have the same growing measure like the Pentecostals, of course. Yes, different orientations you can feel even in your own small church. Even if I look to my own small church, there is not uniform. There are different people, different pastors, different workers, different mentalities. There is a kind of pietistic wing in our church, but we don't have that kind of too much liberal wings. I mean, like here in Finland or in West Europe. So we have less to do with the liberalism, which will come, of course. I'm convinced if our students are studying too much in different Western European universities, could happen that they come back with other ideas.
Dese Adoriani, what kind is a vision of your church? How are you going to work in the future in Romania? What kind of future plans your church has got?
Well, my vision is the church has to grow. If a church is not growing, then it means that church sleeps or has already died. I hope that God will give us the growth. And what I already told you, to strengthen the youth and the children work and to find new ways and new visions for the local work, for diaspora work, and I guess what will be very, very important in the future, it will be the evangelism in the church. I mean, to be congregations which will be active, not only the so-called professional theologians or workers in a church. How to change from the so-called folks church, which is traditional one, to one living church. I mean, where the whole body is working something. Not only a few persons in a congregation are doing the work, but you have to transform the congregation and you have to influence the congregation to be the whole congregation a working body. And then it will change the whole church. This is my vision, to grow young work, children work, but to create the active, as much as possible, active membership of the church.
What are the biggest challenges of your church?
Oh, many. The biggest, I don't make some graduation between challenges. I think if I see the outside, is this secularism is a great challenge, because the influence is strong and you are not anymore the church. You are only one opinion in the society, only one, a voice which can be listened or not. So this is a challenge, how to remain, if I may say, an institution which voice will be listened by anyone, because it's authentic. And a great challenge is inside to keep or to create quality. I mean, if we work with the gospel, if we work with the word of God, let us do in a way to have a quality of work, to be appreciated because of the quality we give. You know, Bible is so precious that you cannot, it's not good to give the people this kind of values in a bad quality, but you have to do this work with a special good quality of work. So how to raise quality in the church workers? This is a challenge.
Desa Adoriani, when you are thinking about your church, what makes you happy?
If it's growing, if it's happy, if it's living. I mean, if the congregations are alive, that makes me the most happy.
Many people in our church are worried how this economical crisis of word shall affect to our church and its economy. Are you worried about it when you are thinking your own church?
Well, I think everybody is worried, but we have not to be too much worried about it, because crises they were all the time. Economic crisis there will be. Financial problems they were. If you read your own history, what was 200 years ago? How was Finland 200 years ago? And how strong and rich was the Finnish church 200 years ago? You will realize that was not so. And the people survived, and the people succeed to create a modern and rich Finland. And richness is not everything. It's important to have, of course, what is necessary. And I think we don't need to be more worried than necessary and try to, well, improve the economic situation. But we don't need to generalize and to create panic. And secondly, we trust in God, I guess. And if we trust in God, we know that everything will have a good finish for us. So as a church, I'm not so much worried about, yes, we will face problems. Do you can imagine a life without any problem, or I don't.
What would you like to say to Finnish Christian people?
God bless them and let us be good fellows in Christ. I mean,
thank you very much.